is now at the highest level it has been on record since the peak of the 2009 swine flu pandemic. That's according to figures updated this week by the CDC, tracking visits to outpatient providers like urgent cares and doctor's offices.
And then there's bird flu. CBS's Janet Shamlian reports Governor Kathy Hochul has closed live poultry markets in the New York City area.
These are just simply measured, common sense steps that'll curb the spread of bird flu.
The markets will be closed for at least 5 days. During that time, no poultry can be delivered, and all unaffected markets must sell the remaining inventory, clean, disinfect the premises, and undergo a state inspection before they can reopen.
We have been vigilant and will remain vigilant so New Yorkers can go about their lives with peace of mind.
President Trump says Nippon Steel is dropping its $14.1 billion bid to acquire U.S. Steel and will invest heavily in the company instead.
The president didn't really get into specifics, but he said that there will be a large investment. It's not going to be a majority stake investment, meaning that Nippon Steel wouldn't have control of U.S. Steel. But he also mentioned that he'll meet with the leaders of Nippon Steel next week.
CBS's Willie James Inman. A hostage release is imminent in Gaza. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
There are solutions to the rot in the Supreme Court, and it's a congressional binding code of ethics. There are solutions to the corruption. It's a constitutional amendment to declare that money isn't speech and corporations aren't people, and we can do this. These are things that Americans agree on no matter our party. We all know that presidents aren't kings.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local civic media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health. But you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Wisconsin News Connection. I'm Judith Ruiz Branch. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Winter weather advisory for 3 to 6 inches of snow starting late tonight and continuing on into Saturday morning. Low tonight near 20, high tomorrow mid-20s. Sunday is looking mostly sunny, highs only 15 to 20. Currently it's 19 degrees.
Jane Mattenair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Mr. Global Matt Randolph is back to talk about the Trump administration policies and how that's affecting us, heating our houses and filling up the gas. Join us.
Mattenair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap Eau Claire, Chippewa Valley's home for the Todd Allball Show.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning. Welcome to Mattenair on Air. Jane Mattenair, Greg Bach, and Calvin Butenoff coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, or the platform shedding more viewers than a molting parrot. What do you think?
I like it.
Better than the Husky?
Sure.
I felt like the Husky was better prepared. I just feel like you came up with the improv style. I feel like you got it should be every day a new one.
I'm working on it.
Good.
The pressure.
Yeah.
The pressure. Dan Schaefer is here from the Recombobulation area. He is also Civic Media's political editor. He joins us on Fridays to do recombobulating things and some great articles, some great columns in this week's Recombobulation area.
We've had a busy week at
you
the
really
Recombobulation
have.
Area.
Our very own Todd Alba has one.
Todd Alba has one. Mm-hmm. Angela Lang has one.
Yes.
And I have one even this week. I have, you know, it's actually the first column that I have had time to sit down and write in like more than a month.
Is it more than a month?
Because, you know, I've got some other things going on.
There's been a lot happening.
Civic Media political editor at a pretty busy time to be in political media, I must say.
No doubt.
But I had a chance to write a column for this week, and it's called Donald Trump and the Rise of the Pro Wrestling Republicans.
I love that title so much.
So this is kind of like a more of a big picture type of piece that I wrote for this. And it is not necessarily one that I was just like reacting to whatever was in the news cycle and all of that. And I think, you know, when I take a step back and look at the big picture of just like how we got here, right? And I think part of it is part of why I wrote this column is I think we need to those of us in like left of center media or Democrats or in general, I think have to recognize the realignment that took place in the 2024 election. I think it's been building for some time, but I think the realignment that took place that led to Donald Trump's victory is, I think, something that we need to face the reality of if Democrats and have to, you know, understand what they're competing for going forward. So I think kind of my thesis statement with this in a sense is that there are kind of two camps of Republicans. There are like the more traditional country club Republicans.
Makes sense.
I'm calling them kind of like George W. Bush, Mitt Romney, Paul Ryan, Mitch McConnell. This is kind of like the orthodox Republican Party.
Old school GOP.
That we have known for a long time. And I think over the years, Democrats, they know how to run against those types of Republicans. You know, they know how to run against a Mitt Romney, right?
Sure.
And I think what Donald Trump and the new kind of MAGA Republican wing of the party is what I'm calling the pro wrestling Republicans. And I think it's less beholden to that kind of like old school Republican orthodoxy, at least in messaging, if not in actual governing.
Right.
Because I think in governing, you still see, you know, you saw it in Trump's first term where he just still governed like the same tax cuts for the rich, stack the judiciary with like federal society freaks and all of that. So I think that, you know, the rhetoric doesn't match the reality, but the rhetoric I think is important to recognize here is because I think, you know, when I think about MAGA and Donald Trump and Republicans, kind of the least, the things that bother me the least are kind of like the spectacle and the goofiness that they really embrace. And like, I was at the RNC in Milwaukee, and you have Hulk Hogan ripping his shirt, and you have a Kid Rock performance, and you have Dana White from the UFC introducing Donald Trump. And like, that stuff, like, it's kind of, you know, annoying or whatever, but it's like the stuff that really bothers me about MAGA Republicans are the policies that they're looking to implement, the cruelty, the corruption, the chaos, all of that. It's not like the spectacle and the weirdness of this. So I think Democrats have to recognize part of it is what Donald Trump and those Republicans did right in that campaign. And that is reach out and get people's attention. Because if they, you know, they're not exactly great at governing, Donald Trump and these MAGA pro wrestling Republicans, but they are very good at getting people's attention. And I think attention in this day and age in political campaigns is everything, because we're in a constant competition for people's attention. And I think it's one of the most valuable commodities that we have. And I think, you know, the way that Kamala Harris and the Democrats approach the election is like being very safe. We'll do this CNN interview.
Right.
We'll do this other one. We'll do this one podcast. And I think we have to readjust to this realignment and recognize the new kind of group of voters that you're competing for. And I think that group of voters is those pro wrestling Republicans in a lot of ways.
I honestly, when I saw that and I was reading about it, I kind of felt like a fool too, because one thing that we kept on talking about last year was how the, and I won't call it the pro wrestling side because that's what mm-hmm. we call it the Trumpian side of the GOP, mm-hmm. was fractured so differently than the old school country club type. You're like, well, we have all these individuals too who are saying, you know, all these Republicans, all these judges, all these generals, all these people, all these former Trump voters saying, I'm not going to vote for him. Well, he's fractured the party so deeply and so irreparably. Of course he's going to lose. When in fact, he mollified them. He got them together and he did. He used communication as a tactic to get them all excited. Even if they didn't like him that much, it was still their side. Because as John Boehner said in 2016, he's like, I'm voting for Trump because he's my candidate, period. There is no decision making for me. There's nothing I'm weighing on my mind. He's my guy. Therefore I'm voting for him. Spent the next decade making it bigger, exciting, more fun than, and we thought, oh, this isn't going to work for them. They're going to hate this. Wrong. I was so wrong.
Tony on the live stream. And I think this is a really good point. Pro wrestling communication, country club policies.
Absolutely.
And that's exactly what it is, Tony. You're so right.
It's the rhetoric. He campaigns as this populist change agent, but still governs as the same old Mitch. He governed more like Mitch McConnell in his first term than any type of like populist Republican that you know, he's kind of purporting to be.
So, Dan, what is the answer then as far as Democrats getting the same amount of attention? Is it Jamie Raskin coming out and ripping his shirt open at the next DNC? I mean, what do we go for then?
I don't think it's necessarily that. I didn't put forth, you know, a clear answer for this. But I think it's just, I think we have to recognize where we're at with it. And I think part of it, too, is that, you know, historically, when there was a high turnout election, Democrats would win. Right. Because they were able to, a lot of these kind of like what political science dorks like me call the low propensity voters, people who don't necessarily vote in every presidential election, might not vote in the midterms, might not show up in their city council or school board races and whatnot. Historically, the higher turnout races have favored Democrats. But that has changed now.
Yes.
And that has changed in a way that, like, in this, you know, most recent election, Donald Trump now has the record for the highest popular vote total in the state of Wisconsin's history, much to my millennial liberal chagrin about Barack Obama in 2008. But I think this is part of what we need to recognize. Donald Trump was able to reach these kind of lower propensity voters, people who might not be as tuned into the political news cycle. And, you know, whether it's like the RFK, Tulsi Gabbard, like, you know, trying to bring people into a bigger tent Republican Party. I think part of it is reaching people. You know, you're going to have to find new Democrats need to find new ways to reach people. And I think, you know, going through the traditional media channels or whatever,
it's not working.
It's not working. No. And I think you see some of this energy from younger members of the party. I think AOC has been pretty successful at this. She's able to get people's attention, whether you agree with her or not on all of this, on a lot of certain things. So I think you have to, I think it is, you know, part of it is a generational divide within the Democratic
Absolutely.
Party in a huge way. And part of it is just understanding that the media environment for really anybody under the age of 45 is very different now, and they just people are just getting
what are you talking about? I'm on the Snapchat.
855-752-4842 if you would like to join us. Tom from Jackson is on the line. Good morning, Tom. Thanks for joining us. What do you want to say?
Hi. I would add that it's not just pro wrestling. It's really the pro-life people on the right really showed up this time, and I think that's going to continue unless they feel that the Democrats are starting to go more towards the middle and meet them. All the rural counties, I guess through the whole country, went red, and most of them are pro-life. And even with Kamala's strong abortion stand, I think that proved to be a loser for the Dems because fewer women voted this time than they did the last election. So I think the Dems need to move to the middle, and I wish the Democrats would start looking at the abortion issue more seriously because, you know, with over 50 to 60 million babies killed, it's making a difference on the country, and they're just ignoring it to their chagrin or loss.
Appreciate your comment, Tom. Thank you so much for listening. Again, if you want to join us, 855-752-4842. I will say that certainly one thing Republicans have been far better at that than Democrats, as you said, Dan, is going on some of these less traditional media outlets like podcasters and influencers and folks like that. And they've been doing that for a lot longer than I think Democrats even considered talking to a Joe Rogan or someone like that. At the same time now, the White House is kicking out more traditional media to cover the White House, and they're inviting influencers in. Mm-hmm. And as one of the older people, I'm 65, it makes me crazy to think that Tiffany, who gives online reviews about yoga pants, is now going to be commenting on what's happening in the White House.
It's part of the new realignment, though, Jane, is that we have different people getting their political news from very different sources than they used to.
Is Tiffany the best place to be getting your source or to be getting your news?
I don't think so.
Maybe not, but I don't think. But I think the rejection of influencers isn't the way to go, because there are people who influence opinion and thought who come from have news backgrounds, who find their way on social media. Like they're not going to get a job on the major networks. They're not going to get a job anchoring the local news. If they can somehow put the news out there in the world, and they're using TikTok and they're using Instagram, they're using all the other, then it's about qualifications versus where do you come from? Because I'm sure there was a time in radio, like, why are you letting these TV news guys in the room? I've been doing radio for this many years. It's about qualifications versus where you come from, I believe, personally.
But the best way to get attention on social media is to be outrageous and horrible.
Well, that's your opinion.
It is.
It's, you're not wrong.
But that doesn't disqualify the validity of some people on social media as influencers who are bringing news to us. Because there are people out there who are bringing legit news.
855-752-4842. We're going to continue our conversation with Dan Schaefer. Keep it right here. You're listening to Matt and Air on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
Imagine home. The smell of coffee, the sound of a lawnmower, the sun's warmth on your face. Free to be yourself, surrounded by love that helps you grow. This is a place to call home. That's an American dream we all deserve. But in 50% of U.S. states, you could legally be denied housing if you are LGBTQ+. Get the facts and hear real stories at lovehasnolabels.com. Brought to you by Love Has No Labels and the Ad Council.
Matt Nair on Air.
Dan Schaefer, Civic Media's political editor.
No court in the country came closer to overturning the 2020 election results than the conservative majority on the Wisconsin Supreme Court. And we have Brad Schimmel, who's been siding with January 6th rioters. So if you want your vote to count going forward, show up and vote on April 1st. Let's channel that energy into the Wisconsin Supreme Court race.
Matt Nair on Air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Up North News Radio.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
I'm discombobulated. It's grounds to be frustrated. I could be so...
Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Box, Sweet Galby on the board, coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. Call or text 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform the Job of the Musk continues to actively ruin. Coming up later on today, Maggie Dawn's show from 2 to 4 p.m. She's going to kick off a brand new segment at 3 o'clock called Ask Maggie.
Oh, boy.
This should be great.
Look out.
Make sure you bring your questions, anything from politics to sports and everything in between. Ask Maggie today, kicking off today at 3 p.m. with Maggie Dawn from 2 to 4 p.m. I will definitely be listening.
And don't be prepared for the truth.
Oh, Megan's going to tell you what she thinks.
Exactly.
There is no doubt about that.
Yeah.
Dan Schaefer is here from the Recombobulation Area, also Civic Media's political editor, talking about his column in the Recombobulation Area about what the Republicans did right in order to get the results they did for this election.
Well, we've spent so much time over the past few months dissecting what Democrats may have done wrong.
Right.
But I think that's part of like why I wanted to write this piece is that we didn't really spend enough time talking about what Republicans did right. And I think what in particular that Trump and the Republicans did in this campaign that they did right was to reach out to people who are not necessarily part of the political process, those low propensity voters. And I think, you know, in Wisconsin, Trump increased his vote share in all 72 counties from 2020 to 2024. Now, you know, part of that is he had the opportunity to kind of run as the outsider, the anti-establishment guy, instead of in 2020 running on his record, which, you know, Americans soundly rejected.
Yes.
But I think painting himself as this anti-establishment type of figure, running against the elites, and then, of course, stacking his cabinet with those very same elites and putting, you know, the
and legislating
men in,
for the elites
and legislating for the elites. And again, and I think that is part of the opportunity that Democrats and those on the left of center have to have this clear eyed look at what they're up against. And I think it's, you know, nothing is linear. Right. These things don't exactly move in the straight line pattern that, you know, some of us would like to if we're making sense of these things.
Right.
But I think, you know, the way that the Trump campaign was successful with these low propensity voters is something that the Democrats need to pay real attention to.
And that is utilizing, again, these less traditional avenues of communication like podcasters and influencers and things like that. Tony has another comment on the live stream. Younger voters can smell talking points and massaged language from a mile away. If you don't really mean what you're saying, people will swipe on by. I don't agree with that.
Well, I don't agree with I think if we're talking about Donald Trump, then yes, there's some validity to that because he doesn't speak in talking points. He just talks. Other politicians, they all speak in talking points. They all get their memos and say what they're supposed to say. And I think what it comes down to now is whatever he says on his pulpit and whomever he likes, that just trickles down.
And they get a pass.
Exactly. So you can have Donald Trump who will just spray lies for 2 hours, but it has nothing to do with any sort of like constructed idea of what the GOP are talking about. But if he's doing that, but he says, Dan Schaefer, vote for him for Senate in Wisconsin, I love him, and he can do talking points all day, they'd be like, I like Trump, so I like Dan. Mm-hmm. So that's done. I can go get groceries now because I don't have the time to follow politics.
Calvin, you are our resident young person. Do you feel that people your age are savvier about picking up on BS?
Largely no. I think a lot of my friends, in this day and age, friends might be too strong of a word.
Acquaintances.
They just seem absolutely shut off, disconnected. They do not care at all.
Just don't care.
They just don't care.
Yeah.
So how do we engage those people? Thank you, Calvin.
Well, I think it sounds a little bit bleak when you hear that, but it's like, I think there's opportunity there. I think there's opportunity there because you have people who are, you know, not engaged with the issues. And I think you have an opportunity to reach people like that. And I think that's where the Democrats should make more of a priority. It shouldn't just be winning over like suburban voters or whatever it might be. You have to get to people who are not necessarily part of the political process, because I think Democrats have a message and policies that better connect with people.
So we need a skateboarder named Biff to opine on politics.
Back
to the Future reference?
I'm throwing it. I'm old.
Yeah.
I think there's something that, you know, I don't know if I've mentioned it to you, Dan, but something we need to come to grips with. And what we think in this room doesn't matter. It's the truth. Donald Trump is cool. People, the brand, the look, the everything. There are more people who wore Donald Trump gear in this past election who thought the brand of Donald Trump is cool because he's outsider. He's a rebel. He doesn't care about the establishment.
He's a felon.
They don't care because the people they like in music, in TV, they do wrong things all the time too, and they love them. The Democrats have to find someone who can come across as cool. The problem is these individuals, these young people, a lot of people, they don't realize that there is that cool guy who is a felon and a criminal beyond that. He's also the president of the United States of America now, and they don't see those two different. They don't see those things as one and the same. They see them as two separate things because those kids don't care.
Yeah. So now
they voted for the cool guy, and whatever happens after that, if they live with their parents, that's beyond them caring.
So reality TV has now become reality.
That became a reality in 2016.
Two of the most popular or most important voices are the host of The Apprentice and the host of Fear Factor from the early 2000s. So yeah. I think, we are in the reality TV has taken over everything type of era. And I think that Greg's point is a great one because, and this is something I wrote about in my piece too, it's not just a political realignment that we're seeing, it's a cultural one too. And I think that is why, I've leaned into the kind of the pro wrestling Republicans piece of this.
Example.
And it's just like the Kid Rock Republicans in a lot of ways. And I think that is really changing in a lot of ways.
Are there any cliffs near Radio Park here in Racine? Because I'm going to go throw myself off of one.
Cliff Smith lives down the street. Cliff Bear lives up the road.
Matt from Middleton, I see you on the line. If you can hang out through the news, we'll take you when we come back. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt Nair on air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Home before I relax the weekend. Once I get strapped in the 210. Wheels up and we'll be rocking. Getting out of frozen Wisconsin. I need you to recapitulate me. I want you to recapitulate me. I need you to recapitulate me. Won't somebody recapitulate me?
You're listening to 93.5, The Tap.
CBS News Brief. A federal judge has blocked Elon Musk's task force from accessing sensitive data on Americans at the Treasury Department, and another judge has temporarily stopped them from placing several thousand U.S. AID workers on leave. CBS's Margaret Brennan.
We know Secretary of State Marco Rubio has said the U.S. will restart some kind of aid, but we don't know what, when, or how.
President Trump is getting back at his predecessor, as CBS's Erica Brown reports.
Friday night, President Trump posted on Truth Social that he was immediately revoking former President Biden's security clearance and intelligence briefings. He said he's making the move after Biden ended his intelligence briefings in 2021.
CDC says this year's flu outbreak is the most intense in 15 years. 12-year-old Alexander Cantor in Ardsley, New York has it and is miserable.
I think I caught the flu from a recent gymnastics competition because we were touching a lot of the same things.
CBS News Brief. I'm Michael Toscano.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
The Bucks get blown out. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cuska with Civic Media Sports. Milwaukee gave up 70 points in the first half and 45 points in the third quarter as the San Antonio Spurs routed the Bucks 144-118. Damian Lillard had 22 points for the Bucks in the loss.
We just allowed them to be comfortable. We weren't sharp enough. We weren't focused enough from the tip. And they got going, and even though, we got some firepower offensively too, I think when you're on the road, it's harder to sustain that and count on that when you're not getting stops.
Milwaukee is back home tomorrow night to take on Memphis. College hoops, it was number 17 Wisconsin coming back to win over Northwestern 75-69 earlier today as John Tonjay scored 27 points. Tonight, number 9 Marquette takes on 25th-ranked UConn at 7 p.m. on National Marquette Day. The Brewers avoided arbitration, signing catcher William Contreras to a one-year deal with a club option for 2026. Contreras will make $6 million this year with a club option for $12 million next season. Spring training begins later this month. With Civic Media Sports, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Winter weather advisory for 3 to 6 inches of snow starting late tonight and continuing on into Saturday morning. Low tonight near 20, high tomorrow mid-20s. Sunday is looking mostly sunny, highs only 15 to 20. Currently it's 19 degrees.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Open that conversation with this person that you disagree with so much by trying to find the shared value, the thing that you both actually agree about. Challenge yourself to keep bringing it back to the value that we agree on and maybe even the outcome that we wish to see. Go have the tough conversation, because you know what gets better with practice? Those tough conversations.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Carmelo Anthony for The Bail Project.
Bad news, you've been arrested. Good news, you're innocent until proven guilty. If you can pay your bail, good news, you go home to wait your trial. If you can't, sorry, you go to jail to wait. But sure, you still presumed innocent. But since you can't afford bail, you've lost your freedom. That's not right. And that's why The Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting the in-cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
That first time seeing my son, I feel like my life did a 180. He really a definition of like why he loves somebody.
Through all the fatherhood's firsts, never stop being a dad. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. We'll review the Super Bowl, see who won, who lost, and what the commercials were, the news, headlines, and more. Join us then.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Sweet Galby on the board, coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. Call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. It's Friday. That means Dan Schaefer is here, not only the founder of the Recombobulation Area, but also Civic Media's political editor. And his most recent column in the Recombob area is about what the Republicans did right in order to help Donald Trump get reelected.
And again, to be clear, it is not what they did right. I'm not saying that I agreed with
was a strategy that worked.
But they won.
Yes, this was a strategy that worked by appealing to what you call the pro wrestling group in the Republican Party, as opposed to the country club group, which is the long established elites, Mitt Romney, Mitch McConnell, those kinds of guys. Got a whole bunch of texts coming in, so we will try to get through some of these. List from Sun Prairie, listing in Madison on WMDX. Please don't underestimate how much our culture has been socialized to defer to white men. Sexual assaults and felonies don't even matter anymore. Yep, I agree with you on that, Liz.
Correct.
Sarah from Green Bay. I think the college-age men who listen to Joe Rogan ran out to the polls for Trump. I think they're going to be in for a rude awakening if their federal aid for school gets cut.
I would also include the college-age women who voted as well.
Absolutely.
I know men have their place in this election, but let's not forget, he got a lot of new votes from a lot of new sectors.
And a lot of white women.
And a point on that, too. When I was reporting my piece last fall in the Fox Valley, I spent some time at UW Oshkosh, and I talked to the editor of the Advance Titan, the student newspaper there, where I got my start as a journalist back in the day. But I talked to her there, and I was talking about like the politics that people were seeing on campus, and she was talking. I was asking, about like which politicians resonate with younger voters, what have you, what's in people's media diet. And she said it was very different for men and women. She was talking about like the various things that women were accessing, but she said to me, she's like, every young man on campus is watching and listening to Joe Rogan.
Oh, yeah.
Every single one. And you saw like a number of college campuses shift pretty significantly to the right in this most recent election. UW-Oshkosh a little bit. Trump won a couple awards in UW-La Crosse this year.
Right.
And this is part of my point here is that like some of those, you know, again, college students will fit under the umbrella of these like low propensity voters, people who might not vote in elections outside of a presidential year or what have you. But I think Republicans have been more effective in reaching those voters in recent years. And I think is, you know, there's this open question of like whether, you know, kind of like Trumpism will survive in the same way beyond Trump himself, like whether this pro wrestling Republican coalition that he's built will be a durable one once he finishes his term or whatever it might be. And I think that's an open question. But I think it's an opportunity for Democrats. They have to see this as an opportunity to reach people differently, because I think and we were talking about this a little bit during the break. I think Democrats can often be so risk averse that they end up saying nothing.
Yes.
And I think they need to say it with their chest a little bit more often. Stand on business a little bit and just stand on what you believe in. And I think people respond to that kind of like authenticity, that type of like genuine passion for what you want to do. And like these like prepackaged, ultra safe interviews that Democrats are giving over the course of heard them. It's not working.
Yeah, it's not working.
You have to talk like a real person. You have to have normal conversations with people. And I think, you know, when you are ultra safe and so risk averse, I think that you can create a situation where Donald Trump seems like a more genuine individual.
Yeah.
Well, he's genuine. All right. Terry from Wausau, to me, it appears this last presidential election, the Democrats committed too many unforced errors. Number one, Biden stepping down too late, which led to number two, the DNC didn't matter because basically the chosen one was Harris. Big turnoff. Number three, not a direct DNC error, but hindsight, if Trump was left alone rather than bringing himself to court, he would have been less relevant because he was all over TV.
Yeah.
And he used that as a platform to campaign. Essentially.
All press is good press. And I think, you know, for Republicans, and I think J.D. Vance even said this about like the ridiculousness that they brought to the, you know, they're eating the dogs, they're eating the cats stuff in Ohio. Like he said that, yeah, maybe it wasn't all true, but it got people talking about the issue that we wanted to be talking about.
That's reprehensible. Wrong.
Yes.
Yeah. It's so wrong.
And you're right.
But again, I just don't understand how people of faith who claim to be people of faith can embrace this when they say all of these falsehoods over and over and over again. And even when it's pointed out that these were falsehoods, they're like, yeah, whatever.
Because
I don't care.
You're talking about, because a lot of these, not all of them, but a lot of them have such an allegiance to their spirituality and their religion that you're asking them to not believe in the person they now believe is called by God to be the one who does whatever he's supposed to do. So there's, and it always comes down to abortion. And they're like, well, whoever says they're pro-life, then that's my guy. And that's it. Doesn't matter how terrible they are.
I grew up in an ultra conservative part of Waukesha County. Yeah. I could go on and on about this
same
topic
here
all day. Like I think there's so much hypocrisy, and I think there's a lot of parallels right now between the 2024 election and the 2004 election, the only two times the Republicans won the popular vote this century. And I think it is that, you know, the hypocrisy and the religious attitudes towards their party. It's just, they're just cheering for their team. Mm-hmm. It's not about any principles. Like, and again, this gets back to how Trump has remade the Republican Party. Like, you have like the so-called free market Republicans backing the guy who wants like widespread tariffs and like all of this government intervention things. They will make any excuse to the end that is power. Republicans care about power. Democrats care about politics and a lot of other things about it. Republicans only care about one thing, and that's power.
Scott from Madison listening on WMDX. Education is crumbling. Young people can't get good jobs or buy houses, and we wonder why they're not interested. The Democrats are about 40 years too late.
It's a good point.
And that's the thing. You made the point before about messaging. The Democrats are 40 years too late on radio and on TV. The hateful Republican message that comes to us has been coming at us for 40, almost 50 years. like, you know what I'm talking about. Like, yeah, so we're behind on so many things.
855-752-4842. Matt from Middleton, you have been so patient, Matt. Thank you so much for hanging on. What did you want to say?
Hey, guys, I think you're missing out on the Elon Musk effect. The guy's got thousands of young people who worship the guy. He offered $1 million for people to vote. He came in kind of late on the campaign. And on Joe Rogan, he said that it was existential for America. They had to vote. The debt would kill America. There'd be nothing left. And I think he definitely had a big impact on it. And as far as Joe Rogan and Dana White, I boycott the UFC because I used to be a fan, but Trump at one of his casinos or something was the first one back in the 90s to give the UFC a place to have a fight. So they've been close for a while now. So Trump is embedded in that world.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's an uphill battle for Democrats, and I hope to God we can do something because we're lost if we don't.
Appreciate it, Matt. Thank you so very, very much. Really appreciate it. Calvin?
Well, I just wanted to agree with Matt about boycotting the UFC. I also was a big fan, and I guess I'm not even a conscious boycott of, like, I'm going to send them a message. It's just I've been completely turned off by it. It's just
doesn't appeal to you anymore.
Yeah, like seeing Trump there just makes me want to turn it off.
Yeah. I mean that level of God worship, demagoguery. And you're right, Matt. We shouldn't count Elon out of the discussion.
Out of the equation.
It's a huge part of it.
Very much a part of it.
Very much a part of it. But something that I spoke to Jane about earlier is that Elon's so much in the news right now. He's getting so much hate for the things he's doing that Trump really isn't getting any sort of – it's all about Elon and what he's doing in the federal government. And, and we're not having the bigger conversation. Who put him there in the first place?
Who's really responsible?
Donald Trump. So, yes, absolutely right, Matt. But we also have to – keep talking about Donald Trump, which we of course will do. We're not going to stop one day. But the going back to the dogs and the cats thing is, I had to tell friends, like, when you make fun of him on social media doing that, you're still putting that message out there, and people,
you're still keeping him forward.
And it's the one thing they love more than anything. They don't care. They want the reaction. And if you're upset at it, that fuels their fire even more. They love when you're upset at their words. So it's like, it's hard to find that balance of ignore them, but also, yeah, just don't pour gasoline on their fire because they love watching it burn.
And they love to have the arguments on their terms.
Yeah.
And I think that is a big part of it too, is because they set the agenda. And I think they so often put Democrats and left center media in this position to just react.
Yep.
And it's just like, I think at some point part of this that Democrats need to acknowledge is just that you kind of need to, you know, reverse the stream there and not always be the party that is reacting to what Trump does. You have to put Republicans on defense a little bit sometimes too. And, you know, the way to do that is a little bit unclear right now.
Right.
But I think that has to be part of the conversation about, like, what to do going forward.
Well, all I can say is it was really painful watching Chuck Schumer earlier this week outside of the Treasury Department, jumping up and down saying, "We will win, we will win." All respect to Chuck Schumer and some of the old guard. It's time, guys. You got to go.
Yeah,
totally.
You have to go.
And this notion, I can't remember which Democratic senator said it, but like he was like, "We're staying up all night to protest." They're like, "I don't care. You're going to lose."
Well, they talked all night, and Russ voted through, and he's been confirmed to head the OMB.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's all this useless performative stuff.
Right. And like Jon Stewart was riffing on this when he hosted The Daily Show on Monday night. He was just like, you know, Chuck Schumer peering over his readers and delivering a statement is just not cutting it anymore. Like, that can't be the reaction to what Trump and Vance and Elon and all of these guys are doing. Like, it's just this asymmetric warfare of what's going on, and it's just not working. They have to change course.
No.
And change tactics.
And I heard, you know, the new DNC chair that got elected over Ben Wickler last week, and he gave this interview, absolutely a mistake, and he gave this interview on MSNBC, and he's just like, oh, we have to combat misinformation, and we have to do this and that and the other thing. And it's just like, no.
No, you have to do things differently. You have to get people's attention. You have to take a new approach. It just sounds like more of the same. And I made the joke after they elected Ken Martin as the DNC chair. I put up the Veep line that's continuity with change.
That's great.
I will say it, and people will be mad at me, and it's not something I like saying. Democrats got to grow a spine.
Yep. And as you said, be willing to go to scary places and take a stand on things.
And take a risk. And take make a mistakes. Risk. And make, like, do all of these different things. You can't do things the way you've been doing them.
It's not
you
working.
Have to change.
It's not working. Yeah. All right. When we return, we're going to wrap up the show with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it's the Under the Sea edition. And by the way, thank you, Jeff. Cliffside Park in Caledonia is available. I'll be checking that out after the show. Jeff, really appreciate that. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you across the vast statewide, countrywide. If you got the app, we're global, baby. Civic Media Radio Network.
Shout out Chris Middleton.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Matt Nair on Air.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute and a thought about whether fancy cookware is worth your hard-earned dollars. I love cooking, so I have done a lot of research to figure out what is worth my money. One thing I know, fancy nonstick is a no-go. Don't do it. Nonstick pans wear out after a year, maybe two. Once the surface of the pan gets all scrapey-scratchy, you gotta throw it out and you gotta replace it. I replace mine roughly once a year. Here's another tip. Don't buy a set of pans. Buy the cookware you need one piece at a time as you need it. For most tasks in my house, cheap cast iron is the go-to. I like it from a yard sale, but if you gotta buy new at the store, you can do that too. And this leaves room to say, yeah, if you love to cook, a high-end all-clad or Le Creuset pot, that is the occasional treat that I think can be worth it. Although I would still wait for them to go on sale. For more everyday money tips, check out workmoney.org. This is Carrie Joy saying, take good care.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Mock, Calvin Butenoff, coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Thank you so much, everybody, for checking in today. Had all kinds of texts and comments on the live stream. Very, very much appreciated. And again, if you ever want to join us, 855-752-4842. Coming up on Monday, Beyond the Cheese.
Oh, boy.
Midwest Sad. I just love that so much. Midwest Sad. Sarah is going to be joining us coming up on Monday as we look at a business in Wisconsin that is not involved with dairy.
Nice.
Hence the name. Beyond the Cheese.
It's back, baby.
Also on Monday, Mondays with Mr. Global. Matt Randolph will be joining us at 10:33. He is an oil and gas industry expert. Mm-hmm. This is actually a thing. It is a titled thing that you have to earn.
Yes.
He is a recognized oil and gas industry expert. He has enough facts and knowledge and experience to pretty much annoy everyone.
There it is.
Which is one of the reasons why we like him so much. So Matt Randolph, Mr. Global, joining us on Monday coming up at 10:33. Right now, though, it is time for...
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
And if you ever have a thing you think should not be, we try to stay away from politics because otherwise that would be our thing every single day.
Yeah.
This is our audio sorbet segment. It's like a little palate cleanser. We try to keep it a little bit lighter. If you ever have a thing you think should not be, send it in to Jane Says, J-A-N-E-S-A-Y-S, Jane Says, at civicmedia.us. This from Oddity Central. By Spooky gets the byline. Headline reads, mermaid performer has her head swallowed by giant aquarium fish during show.
So, I'm laughing at the byline. I'm not laughing at the situation.
We're going to put the video in the show notes because there is accompanying video to this. And my husband pointed this out to me earlier in the week. A viral video shot at an underwater world in China shows a young mermaid performer getting attacked by a giant aquarium fish during the live show. A very popular tourist attraction recently got a lot of criticism for trying to cover up the incident. This woman, dressed like a mermaid, is swimming around with this big tank, in this big tank with lots of fish in it.
Mm-hmm.
Halfway through the mermaid show, the young Russian woman, known as Masha, gets her head swallowed by a huge sturgeon that had crept up behind her. Fortunately, the 22-year-old woman maintained her composure, managed to get away and get to the surface. The show did have to be stopped for an hour and a half. The underwater world offered her $100 for moral damages and asked her not to talk about it. That would have gone well, except for one of the people who was there filmed the entire thing and then put it out on social media, where it went viral. Early reports described the fish as a type of shark, but it's been clarified that the giant fish is actually a sturgeon, a toothless fish that rarely attacks humans. Following the backlash after the video went out, this underwater world in China came out with a statement saying the young woman had not been injured and the aquarium was operating according to its usual schedule. The underwater mermaid, however, posted at least one photo showing bruising on her face. She also suffered injuries to her face, head, and neck, and again offered $100 compensation after being swallowed by a sturgeon.
I think the only this shouldn't be a thing, well, there's two of them. One, like I said, it was down for an hour and a half. Could you imagine being the next performer and being like, all right, now you go on and be like, I'm sorry, you want me to do what?
Yeah, you're next.
For a possible extra $100, that's the other. $100?
Yeah.
Come on.
You could have coughed up a little bit more than that. That wraps up today's episode of...
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
We have news coming up next. Then Todd Alba from noon to 2. Maggie Dawn, 2 to 4. Dom Salvia, Jim Santel, going to be hosting today for Dom Salvia. If you are not aware, Jim Santel is a lawyer, and he has a great show on Saturdays called Amicus, a Law Review.
And he'll be on next Wednesday, too.
Yep. So Jim will be joining us. It's a great show tomorrow morning all across the network from 9 to 11. And then, of course, Pete Schwabba, 6 to 8 p.m. And then we start all over again on Monday. You are going to be kicking off things with Dr. Kristen Lierley Monday morning.
That's right. 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Dock in the Bock. Bock in the...
Bock in the Dock.
Bock, I can't remember
Bock
my
in
own.
The Dock. And then Earl Ingram right before us. Thank you, Greg and Calvin, and all of our engineers. Without you guys, nothing works. And thank you most of all for calling and for texting and for listening. It absolutely means the world. I hope you find some joy over the weekend, even if it's just a little bit, and you have the chance to share it. Keep it right here. News coming up next on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll see you on Monday. Yeah.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, Eau Claire, the Valley's home of Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
Pat Kreitlow.
Pat Kreitlow is off this week, so get used to some Bach in the Dock, Greg Bach and Dr. Kristen Lyerly, Monday through Thursday.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow, weekday mornings starting at 6.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Enjoying this local program?
Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap,
WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Michael Toscano. Red Cross vehicles have arrived at the location in Deir al-Bala, Gaza, where at any moment Hamas will free at least two of the three Israeli hostages. They will be exchanged for dozens of Palestinian prisoners held by Israel as part of the ceasefire deal. In Washington, a federal judge temporarily blocked Elon Musk's Department of Government Efficiency from stopping over 2,000 employees of the U.S. Agency for International Development from working. But CBS's Margaret Brennan tells us the administration's action is already having an effect.
The real-world impact, you need only look at the 500,000 metric tons of food aid and some drugs that are already sitting on ships and ports, unable to be delivered or unloaded because there are no workers to deliver it. 30 metric tons sitting in the Port of Houston alone. This seems the opposite of increasing efficiency.
An early morning ruling from another judge has stopped DOGE from accessing Treasury Department records with personal data for millions of Americans. President Trump has revoked former President Biden's security clearance and ended his daily intelligence briefings. CBS's Olivia Rinaldi has more.
Briefings are typically provided to former presidents, often as just a courtesy. You know, sometimes those former presidents want to keep up with some things that are going on in the world and some of those initiatives that they put in place. Briefings are usually offered to them on a regular basis.
U.S. Steel will not be sold to a Japanese company after all, but Nippon Steel will now invest in the business.
I didn't want it purchased, but investment I love.
The president, in a joint news conference with Japan's prime minister, says he'll play a direct role in negotiating a deal with Japan's Nippon Steel.
We're going to meet with Nissan next week, the head of Nissan, very great company, and they'll work out the details. I'll help. I'll be there to mediate and arbitrate.
Trump repeatedly referring to the Japanese car company Nissan, but apparently meaning Nippon Steel. Former President Joe Biden had blocked Japan's acquisition of U.S. Steel on national security grounds. Linda Kenyon, CBS News, the White House.
The flu is spreading more rapidly than usual, helping to make this the worst flu season in more than 15 years. Indiana is hard hit, as CBS's Janet Shamlian reports from South Bend.
Across the country, there have been more than 24 million flu cases this season. That's almost 10% more than this time last year. Fewer are dying, but flu-related hospital visits are up almost 25%. In Kentucky, teachers sanitized classrooms. Schools in Jefferson County went to remote learning, and schools in Bullitt County, a half hour south of Louisville, have been closed since Wednesday to try to stop the spread.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
There are solutions to the rot in the Supreme Court, and it's a congressional binding code of ethics. There are solutions to the corruption. It's a constitutional amendment to declare that money isn't speech and corporations aren't people, and we can do this. These are things that Americans agree on no matter our party. We all know that presidents aren't kings.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like.
Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts. You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know?